The story of how the Star Spangled Banner started at sporting events.
Not until this morning.
You have to go back to 1918, September 4th, 1918, Game 1 of the World Series between the Red Sox and the Cubs. It's at Wrigley Field. Actually, it was at Wegman Park. The World Series was not played at Wrigley Field that year for some reason. 14,000 fans on hand for Game 1 of the series. And this was a tough time for America. We're in the middle of World War I. On that day before Game 1 of the World Series, there was a bomb that ripped through the Chicago Federal Building, killing four people and injuring 30. And so everybody was kind of down in the dumps as the World Series starts. And they say that on this day of Game 1, the crowd was not into it at all. The seventh inning stretch rolls around, and as was common back then during sporting events, a military band was on hand to play. And while the fans were on their feet for the seventh inning stretch, the musicians fired up the Star Spangled Banner. Well, they weren't the only active duty servicemen on the field. Red Sox third baseman Fred Thomas was playing the series while on furlough from the Navy. Upon hearing the opening notes of the Star Spangled Banner from the military band, Thomas immediately faced the flag, snapped to attention with a military salute. The other players on the field followed suit in civilian fashion, meaning they stood and put their right hands over their hearts. The crowd, already standing, showed its first signs of life all day, joining in a spontaneous sing-along, haltingly at first, but finishing with a flare. The New York Times mentioned it in their recap of the game. The Cubs front office realized they had witnessed something unique, and so for the next two games, they had the band play the Star Spangled Banner during the seventh inning stretch. Other major league teams noticed the popular reaction to the song, and over the next decade, it became standard for World Series and holiday games. In subsequent years, throughout subsequent wars, it grew into the daily institution that we know today. And now you know the rest of the story. That's how the playing of the national anthem started at sporting events. So in the last 90 years or so, we've had tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of renditions of the national anthem before all of these sporting events through all of the years. Some very, very good, some very, very bad. We thought we'd listen to the best and worst this morning. All right, when you talk about the best anthems of all time, three are commonly brought up. And we're going to listen to portions of all three of these. The first that you hear a lot about is the Jose Feliciano National Anthem in 1968 World Series in Detroit. And this was the one that kind of got the whole interpretive thing off the ground. After Feliciano took creative license with the anthem, everybody started to do it after that, but this was the first unique rendition of the national anthem. I think that's a beautiful rendition.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it's really great. But back then, some people thought it was great in the tumultuous 60s, but most of America didn't really like it.
I bet my dad went on board with that rendition of it.
Plus, he's a foreigner, right?
Well, no, he's an American. Kind of
he's a Mexican, right?
All right, the other anthems that everybody talks about, 1983, the NBA All-Star Game in Los Angeles, and Marvin Gaye.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?
stripes and Christ the
Will this be over before Christmas?
Through the
This one overrated, maybe just a little bit?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I remember watching this, and I was a stupid teenager at the time.
Awesome.
But I remember being blown away and getting chills, and just the way the crowd reacted to him.
I think Marvin Gaye was blown away shortly thereafter.
His father shot him over this.
It may not have been musically the best anthem ever, but the reaction it got from the crowd and the chill bump factor was really high.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Whitney Houston's rendition at the 91 Super Bowl in Tampa. This is back when she had her wheels on.
Oh, yeah, she's beautiful. Her voice was crystal clear. And this is right after the invasion of Kuwait.
Right.
So the security around the Super Bowl was incredible. And this is the first one that comes to mind when I think of good ones.
Gives you chills.
I think of this one. She just nailed it.
Her rendition, this one, has been a top 20 single not once but twice. First in 91 during the Gulf War, and then again after the 9/11 attacks 10 years later.
Mm. Then Bobby Brown had to screw it all up for everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, Bobby Brown.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Ben Bobby Brown.
Then there have been many poor renditions of the national anthem. We had one slip up this weekend at the U.S. Open during their 9/11 memorial remembrance. Cyndi Lauper sang the national anthem, and halfway through, she forgot the words.
Okay.
For the ramparts we
streaming.
She meant online. It was still streaming online. You could see it.
She said afterwards that she was so overcome by emotion of the whole event that she forgot the words.
Indeed. Indeed.
Well,
her voice sounded beautiful. She just messed up the words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her voice did sound good. But you can't mess up the words, can you?
Mouse, I guess so.
Why don't people have them taped up everywhere?
I don't know. And it's a difficult song to sing. There's no doubt about that, and you're nervous when you're on stage, but she's a professional performer. I could forget the songs on stage, but her?
All right, anthem etiquette question. I always sing along with the anthem. Am I not supposed to be doing that?
Yes, I think you are, but everyone doesn't want to because they don't want to sing.
I would say 90% of people don't sing along with the anthem. Mm-hmm.
I try to, but I can't sing, so I just mouth the words to make it look like I am.
Well, to me, that's better than just sitting there silently, but don't the people who sit there without mouthing or singing, don't they have a point? Hey, they've hired a professional to do the anthem. They don't need me to do it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Then there was Roseanne Barr in San Diego, 1991. I believe this was at the All-Star Game.
A horrible idea this was.
It wasn't very good to begin with, and then at the end, she grabbed her crotch and spit.
Whose breast stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight are the ramparts we watch, where so gallantly streaming out of the
yeah.
I'm insane now.
How was she not kicked out of this country?
I don't know. Whose idea horrible? Was that? Hey, let's get Roseanne Barr to do it. She'll do it real respectful.
Her show was on then, right? So, I mean, she was one of the most popular people in America at the time.
Okay.
What is she thinking?
That she's funny. I guess she had the Midas touch with comedy up until that point.
They didn't ask Seinfeld to do it. This show did pretty well.
I'll say, can you see?
I mean, what's the deal with this flag?
Okay, that's a reduction.
And then the one that we all love, Carl Lewis.
Greatest.
For the ramparts we watch with so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red flag. And the home of the
brave. Still holding out the note. Oh, that's awful. Uh-oh.
Anytime you have to stop in the middle of it and apologize and
tell say the second half of the song is going to make up for the first half.
We'll make it up for you now.
You know, a recent great one that I loved was this year in the NBA Finals, the Ticket's own Jack Ingram for a Mavs game.
That was great.
That was fantastic. Any other stand out to you guys, good or bad?
Man, Carl Lewis is my all-time fave. Gordo brought one to mind of one that I introduced at Texas Stadium. I'd forgotten all about this, and this gal got booed at the end of it.
Cat DeLuna.
Yeah.
That was her name. You want to hear a little bit of Cat DeLuna?
Who is Cat DeLuna?
This made Time Magazine's 10 worst national anthems. And the clip that they posted on Time.com has a familiar voice introducing her. So enjoy this.
DeLuna.
Hold on.
My moment of fame there.
Tonight's featured entertainer is 20-year-old pop sensation Cat DeLuna.
Pop sensation?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light was so bright?
She's doing the chicken neck and shake hand and doing the gesticulations along with her runs, you know.
Last man whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, that's a bad one,
that's
too.
That's made her a sensation. The fact that she could do all that.
All right, that's a look at the national anthem at sporting events. Almost 100 years old in this country, dating back to 1918. Oh, by the way, I didn't know this, but I'm being told by Cubs fans that Wegman Field was Wrigley Field, but that's just its old name.
Oh, that's what they called it before Wrigley?
Yeah. All right, 835 on Sports Radio 1310.